This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think that's a very good attitude.
It's Mike Shope.
You don't think? I don't think you should be butting in when I'm talking to my team. You're my assistant, okay? You're supposed to back me up and go get me juice boxes when I tell you. Now go get me a juice box.
You know who you're talking to.
It's the Bulldog.
I'm talking to the juice box guy.
You're crazy.
I'm not crazy. I'm just thirsty.
Why don't you go to hell?
No, you go to hell. While you're there, why don't you grab me a juice box?
I'm no juice box boy, I'll tell you that.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you
it's
are.
Mike
Shope
and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
That's right. Both. You get both today. Until I bring up fantasy football and Bulldog leaves, looks for the next flight out, or you bring up, I don't know, some awful food take.
How tempting is that when you're walking through the airport? In this case, there's no rush to, you know, afternoon, late afternoon even flight. So, you know, 1 o'clock, 1:30, check in, you're in, you're walking, and you're walking past gates with flights that are going to places like Munich.
Oh,
and
so this was not in Buffalo.
Like,
you're saying.
Like,
I've never seen a Buffalo to Munich.
We got luggage already.
We're here
already. Might as well. It's always a little tempting.
I do love to look at the other locations.
Just let it roll.
Destinations.
You know? Yeah.
But
this was tough. This terminal we were in Denver was like, you know, I don't know, Hartford maybe, Atlanta on one side, and then, you know,
international
Berlin, yeah. Brisbane. I don't know if there's Brisbane actually. That'd be really far. But it was
possible.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Anyway. I've never done anything spontaneous at an airport. I do, not as much anymore, but I would, you know, used to fantasize about it, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Even just like going to the airport and buying a ticket.
Right.
Can you do that anymore?
I don't know. It's been a very long time since I've tried.
Just sort of shop, browse around.
Yeah.
You look at that big board with the times and everything and just like, what do you think?
Now you got to do everything yourself even before you get to the counter. And like, I don't know, it still seems like you got to go to the counter anyway, at least if you're checking a bag.
Yeah.
Why am I doing all the junk in your app to begin with? Because I'm still going to show up here with my passport and you're going to look at me and go, okay, I accept you are who you say you are. Thank you for the bag. So I don't know. Why am I checking in early if all I'm going to do is go do the same process anyway?
When did that real ID start? Did you get in before that?
Well,
last week?
We just travel with our passports. So the passport is
you don't need
a
both.
Suitable replacement for if yeah
so. But that did like just start
yeah
right?
I saw a news conference today about the new screening and you got to have this or that so the first time I ever heard about that I didn't it took a while. The story I happened to be reading went on for a while about how important you're going to need to have this if you're going to do this and this and this and it like eight paragraphs in the story. By the way, if you currently have a you know, up-to-date passport, you're fine. Like, oh, thank you.
Yep.
That seems like important, like an important detail you might want to inform everyone of, that I'm all set if I have a passport.
You're here to do it right now.
Right.
Well, you didn't miss a ton. The Bills discourse is kind of the same.
Great.
I know. It's. I'm very self-conscious about it now. You know, yesterday, one of my first thoughts about the day was, all right, what can I do Bills-wise that isn't about who their wide receivers are or aren't? And then Elijah Moore did media.
And that was that.
So that was that.
Right.
And we talked about him and that whole thing again.
Right.
You know, I was thinking about this, though. All the back and forth on whether they need more at receiver, is that really why they're not winning championships? What is it all worth? The if it needs to be said, I guess maybe it doesn't, but the underlying question with all this offense versus defense, you know, where you use draft capital, free agency, everything like that, is like, will the idea, what's the thesis here by the Bills? It's, okay, well, our defense needed more help. Nobody would really disagree with that. Let's just push in as hard as we can toward that. Multiple defensive tackles, multiple defensive backs, Joey Bosa, Michael Hoyt, Ogunjobi. Let's just, anything possible that we can do, we will do it. Will it work? You know, like, the back and forth continues on, does Josh Allen need more weapons? Maybe. It's debatable. The defense argument isn't really like, did the defense need help? Because most people would have said yes. The question about that is it going to work? Is it worth it to pour that kind of effort and money into defense? You know, either way you want to go, you're still already this good. You're still already,
right,
you know, AFC semifinalist. But that's really like it on the whole thing is, you know, maybe they don't need more offensive talent. Maybe they do. But is the idea of pouring all that kind of investment into defense worth it? That's, I think, what the question is. And then, you know, like, well, what does worth it mean? Does it mean winning the division again? Because does it make it already there?
It's got to make a difference when you get to that moment in the fourth quarter of a game against the Chiefs, where presumably you need to stop them so you get the ball back and score, something that the Bills did manage to do these last 2 years in these playoff losses, but still couldn't get it done. It's part of the reason why I feel like, yes, of course, add to your defense. You need to get better. The depth-wise, starter-wise, impact-wise, you didn't have a legitimately great idea, if even a good idea, to start at corner opposite Benford. So, okay, like I understand what you're doing. I just think there's a lot of overreacting to it. And I've made this point numerous times. Not right after the Super Bowl, because after the Super Bowl, I was right there with everybody. Like, oh, see, it can be done. Look what that team did to the Chiefs that we can't seem to manage to do. And, like, that's alluring. That's like, oh, I guess I should have thought of that. You know, we already did probably 3 or 4 years earlier when they drafted defensive ends, one, you know, with their first two picks in the draft after losing in the AFC title game there. And so we got to do what Philly did. The problem is Philly was drafting a couple of those guys are high picks that they got in trades that a team as good as them normally wouldn't have gotten their hands on. And, you know, sure, there's their share of guys that just sort of showed up and had an impact and won reps in the Super Bowl and did a great job. They pounded KC in a way that, you know, I don't need style points. I need to beat them. And I'm not losing to them by this huge margin, despite whatever inefficiencies I've got on defense, or worse, you know, flat-out deficiencies, if you want to call them that. The gap has never been that big between me and the Chiefs. So, I don't know, this idea that I'm going to put a defense on the field that's suddenly going to be able to do what Philadelphia did to them, I think is really far-fetched. In one offseason, it's just not going to work. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be building towards something, but I just don't know that. The thing about the receiver is it's not so much to have a guy to impact this year. I mean, that'd be great, but it wasn't realistic if you were drafting a guy on Friday or even Saturday in the draft. It's to get something else in the pipeline ideally something that could develop into a high-end guy while he's still on a rookie contract. So I don't have to pay the going market rate of $35 million if I want a number one receiver. I get him and I develop him, and then I decide if I want to pay him. And, you know, let's see the case. But you don't even have the guy in the program, then, you know, you hope that that's going to be Keon Coleman, who was a highly drafted guy last year, but it should not have prohibited you from doing more, in my opinion. So that's really the crux of it. It's not so much, you know, oh, I wanted a guy that was going to make them better right now. Because I don't know that you know, I would maybe side with Bean on that. You know, with the way he came across 2 weeks ago now, or excuse me, last Monday. That, you know, you weren't going to unseat somebody, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't be trying, you know, at a higher rate than pick whatever that 240 guy was. 240, thank you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know,
Caden Prather.
So that's all there is.
I had to ask Sal yesterday his name.
Yeah.
What did we talk about in May 2 years ago about them? What did we talk about? Like right now, like I mentioned already today, I'm so self-conscious about the receiver stuff because we're doing it all the time, and I'm not even sure how relevant it is. You know, like just how relevant is the receiver thing? We've had the argument. What did we talk about 2 years ago?
2 years ago,
Diggs,
well, yeah,
himself.
Well, sure, because that is, we're coming up on that, whatever mandatory minicamp is, that's, you know, mid-May or something, maybe after the schedule, whatever, we get there, or that was June maybe, but still, it was him. Is he, he's here, he's not here, like that whole thing, that was around this time 2 years ago.
So that happened.
Maybe a little later than now, but still close.
That's right. Whenever it was, that happened, and we discussed, it was kind of heated, like, what did that all mean? Why is McDermott not so forthcoming about Diggs, and where is Diggs' head? And we're reading his tweets, right? And we're sort of trying to figure out everything he says. But that's just all sort of guessing and, you know, back and forth on whether there's a problem or not. And then he shows up for training camp and gives his speech that everybody in the media gave him so much credit for, because it was just like being honest and, you know, how much he loved playing for the Bills and how much he loved Josh Allen and all of that. And then what could you do with it? That was kind of it. Like, you couldn't sit here after that and be like, no, I don't believe him. You know, so, yeah, we did have him. But was there anything else? Like, as far as the makeup of the Bills was, or as far as it went, what was it that we weren't, like, what was the problem? Was there a problem? Was there an issue other than, like, his personality 2 years ago? Because when he was here, then we didn't look at wide receiver. What wide receiver was then was kind of what you said, but it was definitely, you know, just sort of down the list. Draft somebody and maybe you can find a star, but it wasn't like that person was ever going to be like meaningful on the team, you know, as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
It was more just about the longer term, I guess. And what did you have? You had Emmanuel Sanders on the team and, you know, veterans being brought in or brought back out of retirement, even to fill those roles. That was the wide receiver thing, was how about somebody young that maybe can be his successor?
Exactly. And you know, also on the lower end of that, even a potential Davis replacement. Because you were, you know, by then you're already looking at the finish line there. At least I was. Sure, anything could have changed it. But even off of the incredible performance in the divisional round loss, you know, at the end of the 21 season from Davis, I was not ready to commit a long-term thing to him. I always thought, I'm going to need someone to be better than that, and that I don't want to pay, you know, what the market's going to bear for him. So there was always, yeah, I mean, that's trace the credibility of wanting receivers. There's almost always a reason.
Yeah, we'll find one. Well, will the defense investment pay off? The Bills scored 30 points a game, a total of 525. I'm not saying that isn't good, by the way, by my tone there. I get in trouble for my tone. 525 points last year in 17 games. One of 32 teams in the Super Bowl era to reach 500 points in a season. Brandon Bean, in his interview with Tyler Dunn last week, mentioned how Carolina, when he was in Carolina, did that. They were 500 on the nose in 16 games that year. They're also one of the 32 teams to do it. The 2020 Bills did it. You know, and you have teams more recently, Baltimore twice, that have hit 500 points. If you, what are their defense rank? Like kind of teens last year? If they're right, like they picked the right guys with the right approach in this draft, and they sort of just like everything Bean wanted out of this draft, he got. And when it comes to wide receiver, he's like, we didn't need that. We got Josh Palmer, so we didn't need that, which that's going to go down in the annals, I think, if Palmer doesn't, you know, become a different player than he's been in the league. But anyway, like if they are able to elevate the defense like significantly, you've got the possibility of just like an all-time great team. Because what Allen affords you is that, you know, offensively, that potential. And, you know, again, I'm saying if he's right. We don't really need – we didn't need Luther Burden. We didn't need whoever the top free agent would have been. Like, there really wasn't a great name for that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they show up this season, and T.J. Sanders is a prodigy, and Maxwell Hairston is ready to start, like, right away. And he doesn't have that hard of a job because they're getting pressure up the middle and on the edge, and just everything's perfect.
Landon Jackson.
Yeah, just like if everything sort of happens.
Hits the beach.
For
yeah,
them.
Right.
I mean, this is sometimes true, but not always with a team. Like you don't have as high a ceiling as they do. If they get it right in this one, if Bean is right on this one, they'll be incredible. And I talked about yesterday how with the schedule, my – you know, focus on the schedule is those big home games. But, you know, Warren Sharp had a thing where, like, they play the fifth easiest schedule in the league. The six games in the division, the Browns, the NFC South, like, that's 11 games out of 17
right.
That, you know, like, the best team in there from last year is Tampa. So take Tampa out if you want because they're in the playoffs. That's 10 games against teams that were not in the playoffs. So, you know...
Yeah, you can get intimidated looking at the caliber of the marquee opponents, but the rest of it is, you know, you should be able to, even if you really have a tough time with those top teams, you still should be able to get it done.
And those are all home games.
Right.
You know, last year they went to Baltimore, they went to Houston. This year, again, they go to Houston, but I think if that were week one, the Bills would be favored in that game in Houston.
I do too.
Who would they not, the other big games are home games, who would they not be favored against in week one? Is there a team that they wouldn't be favored against? I don't think so. If they went to Pittsburgh or Cleveland, no. If they go to Houston, I think no.
All right. You have to eliminate Philadelphia because
Philadelphia's here. Oh, well, that's right.
They can't come
What's
here
What's the
week
spread
one?
if they were at the Bills week one? Eagles are favored?
Yeah, I think okay. Yeah, you know, two maybe.
That's probably right. I think I agree with that. But you're right. That can't be the game.
Right. So that's eliminated. The rest of it, yeah, no, you would at home, I think, both Baltimore and Kansas City are games you would, if it were week one, I think you'd be favored in.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40.
period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Maybe not the Ravens.
You think?
Maybe not. Close.
Having beaten them in the playoffs like they did and lost to Kansas City, I feel like Kansas City might be the tighter one, but that doesn't have to be right.
Well, the difference, as I see it, the Bills have beaten the Chiefs 4 years in a row in the regular season. And last year at home, I don't know. I think they would be a small favorite. The Ravens were favored in the playoff game, and I think most people's takeaway from the playoff game would be that the Bills were lucky to beat Baltimore. Three turnovers to none, didn't force a punt, Andrews drop, Andrews fumble, not to double count that. They might be favored here. Is there any chance we'll get that game? Could that be week one?
I wouldn't rule out Sunday night week one. That game. I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, you're talking about the last two MVPs.
Yep.
Talking about a playoff rematch, but it's not like the gaudiest one because it's not from the championship game, but it's still pretty tasty.
Not only the last two MVPs, but they both finished second each of the last 2 years.
Okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Allen was second to Jackson and vice versa.
That is right.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I wouldn't rule that out. It's one of those games that, you know, if we were discussing this in a different context, you might say it's too good for week one, but I wouldn't want to rule it out.
Well, that's cool. That would be amazing. I've liked that game at New England for week one, thinking about whether Diggs would play, but we won't know for a while. I'm ready for...
How's your schedule?
Quote, dribs and drabs.
How's your schedule sheet doing?
I had a thought today to do another one. Maybe I will. This is the last one I've done, and I don't think it's perfect.
There's a lot more writing on there than there was when I was last here, and I was only gone. I only missed two shows.
So much writing.
I only missed Friday and Monday, and I'm back already. I mean, there's a lot of words there.
I still haven't decided where to put the bye week. But you do have the four. Sal and I talked about this yesterday. The four marquee home games. Ravens, Bengals, Chiefs, Eagles. I kind of think we'll end up being spread out on the schedule. Like on this one, the stars indicate those four games.
Okay.
Also, the names of the teams do. But because...
I like how you did that.
They're all so big that putting them like within like 2 weeks together or something like that seems... I don't know. Like the networks might want to showcase... those games. Maybe the Bengals one isn't as big as I'm making it out to be. To me, it's on the same tier.
I think it should be, yeah.
Because the playoff game, Hamlin and Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a team that the Bills haven't figured out yet. Say what you want about whether Baltimore was lucky to, unlucky to lose here. They did lose, and they lost the other time in the playoffs here. So, well, that's next Wednesday.
Yep. I hope you're right about the spacing it out. I'm just last year, there's a bye week after the first of these, but they played in consecutive weeks, Chiefs, Niners, Rams, Lions.
That's right. The gauntlet.
I feel like 2023, there's an Eagles game and there's a Chiefs game like that. That's kind of similar to that where, it's Eagles, bye week, Chiefs, Dallas, and then the Chargers. That doesn't really rate, but... Anyway, I would say in 2023, Eagles, Chiefs, Dallas were certainly three of the biggest marquee games they had on their schedule. Two of them were on the road, but still they played those three games in a row.
That's right. These being all home games is different, makes that different for me. Yep. But yeah, you could have two a couple of weeks apart. I don't know about back-to-back, but you certainly could. No rule against it. Looking at the quarterbacks, we don't know who they'll face when they face Cleveland or Pittsburgh. Might depend on when you play them. Early in the season, you get Joe Flacco, maybe Aaron Rodgers or Mason Rudolph. Late in the season, you get Shedeur Sanders, or you get Will Howard even for the Steelers.
Right,
you know,
right.
You play a bad team in December, you might expect the rookie to be on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, not so.
The Rodgers thing is still – that's still – like
still nothing.
That's but it's not definitively dead.
No, it's, I think it's the same.
Wow.
Yes.
It's May, right?
Let me check. Who do I have to – who will know? Who can I call?
That is an incredible thing.
So today we – actually right next we'll talk to Matt Verderam, who covers the Chiefs. He's been on our show a number of times. Paul Hamilton will join us late in the show. Another great hockey game last night with some controversy, the goalie injured and then taking ill, and when was he concussed, and was it maybe even more than once in the game? Today you're getting the predictable stuff. He's not ruled out, and Sam Bennett, for his part, says, yeah, I didn't mean to do it.
No league discipline.
No league discipline.
No penalty on the play, no league discipline to follow.
I had a beauty of a question yesterday. I got asked Bulldog that Blues question, don't I? Oh, baby. Let's get that in early because that could take the rest of the day.
Blues like blues, the musical genre, or blues like the hockey team?
I'm not going to tell you right now.
Okay, that's fine.
Just leave it out there.
I want to be. I hope the audience enjoys being left hanging.
It might be both.
Good.
It might be both. It might be. It actually kind of is. It actually kind of is both. All right, so stay tuned for all of that and more. Next, Matt Verderam talking the Chiefs and the AFC. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back. The NFL draft is over. The schedule release is just over a week away. Be a very memorable, important, sentimental season for the Bills in that their stadium is going into its last year, which makes, I think, sort of imagining the schedule that much more fun and interesting. The Chiefs are on it again. That's the law now that they have to play. Even twice a year now, mm-hmm. That's the law. Mm-hmm. The Bills and the Chiefs become quite a rivalry. On the Chiefs and more, joining us now on the West Her Hotline is Matthew Ryan Verderam. I don't want to be creepy, but I just looked at your Twitter and I saw the Rick Pitino tweet, Matt, and so that's your name. And Rick Pitino, he had a grandson with that name. So, Matt, you were, you know, the kids got off to a great start, it seems. With that name.
Yeah, I depending on who you're asking. It could be a good start. It could be the worst start possible. I saw that, had a little fun with it. The first tweet somebody responded there, like 28-3. Like, hey, man, I didn't lose the game. But, things happen.
Matt Ryan, that's right. Took me a second. Well, again, Matt, the draft is over. And the Chiefs and Bills, not exactly connected like, well, last year when the teams traded and the Chiefs ended up taking Xavier Worthy with the pick. Both teams kind of drafting for need here. Although, in Buffalo, and this was fueled by the general manager of the Bills coming on WGR and kind of, you know, making a spectacle of how, you know, yeah. He's tired of the criticism about what he hasn't done at wide receiver. Jalen Royals, for me, in the Bills draft, the only room I have that would feel right to be critical about this point is like round four, where, you know, you needed defensive players. They got them. Wasn't exactly the best year for receiver. Didn't fall into your lap.
Right.
Royals is in Kansas City, and here we go. Like already this week, they're on the field, and, you know, some people are excited about him. Are you?
Yeah. He's an interesting guy. He's 6 foot. He's 205 pounds. He's got a little bit of return game in him, although I don't know that the Chiefs will use him. They have a decent returner now in Remigio. But, the Chiefs, there was a thought that they might take a receiver fairly early, probably day two, potentially day one if everything broke right, but it didn't. To play behind Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown's there for a one-year deal. And they need new depth. And so, you know, Royals is an interesting guy. I thought they might take him at 63 or 66. I thought that was probably the sweet spot for him. And when they didn't take him there, I said, okay, well, they're not going to get him. And then they passed on him again. And I thought, well, I guess they just really don't feel like they need a receiver. And then he was still there in the fourth round. I said, okay, fine, I'll take him. This year I think his ceiling is probably the fourth receiver on the team, unless there's injuries that there could be, or a suspension, which there could be. I think of all their picks, they had some pretty good value throughout the draft. I think he was probably the best value in terms of where they took him and where, you know, most people expected he'd be taken.
You mentioned possible suspensions impacting things. As you know it, as we're talking right now, Matt, where do things stand with Rashee Rice?
Nothing's changed, to my knowledge. You know, look, it's been very bizarre. And, of course, when you're getting into the law and courts, that stuff can be very bizarre. But he was charged last year with 8 felonies, resulting in an alleged, at this point, alleged, this video of some of it, a hit and run down in Texas, where he was traveling at a very high rate of speed. And since then, everything's kind of been a limbo. To my knowledge, there's been no court dates. There's been no plea bargain. It's just kind of sitting there. And so, look, the NFL didn't take action last year. He played. He got hurt in week 4. He's out for the year. He looks to be on schedule to be back for the season. Might even be back for training camp. The question now becomes, does anything move legally? If it doesn't, they may wait another year to suspend him, or they may not. I would imagine it's somewhere they have to. But they might sit there and say, look, until there's some movement on the legal side of things,
right,
we're just going to kind of wait it out.
What do you think, dare I ask, because here we are in Buffalo talking about wide receivers all the time, and it's sort of become an obsession. What is your opinion of the importance of the position? Because both the Bills and the Chiefs, I think, really test you on this. I mean, they both have the great quarterback. They both have, either won championships or, won, in the Bills' case, 5 straight division titles, tons of success, 30 points a game last year. But both teams kind of did it without obvious answers at receiver. The Chiefs have Travis Kelce, although he's, old now, but still, productive and important. Did the Chiefs or the Bills tell an important tale about just maybe whether the position is overrated or just what its importance is?
I think the Chiefs and the Bills are major outliers in the sense that, as great as Lamar Jackson is, I think he needs his Zay Flowers. He needs really good tight ends. We saw him earlier in his career, and he was great. But when they had really poor receivers, his passing numbers were not particularly good. If Joe Burrow, for me, is a great player. And he's hurt sometimes, but he's great when he's on the field. What does Joe Burrow look like with the Bills receiving core or the Chiefs receiving core? It's probably not like what he looks like with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. I still think he would be good, but would he be leading the league in passing? I don't know. Allen and Mahomes, to me, are on their own stratosphere. They're in their own stratosphere. They're on their own tier. Where those two guys could play with all of us and win 12 games. It's just, they're going to make plays. Obviously, Allen's more of a running threat than Mahomes is, but Mahomes runs when he needs to. They make throws that most people would just be taught, don't ever even attempt that, but they do it, and they do it all the time. So I think for teams like the Chiefs and the Bills, I understand the Bills fan who sits there and says, hey, I want a number one receiver. I want a Stephon Diggs in his prime without the drama type of guy. Great, I get that. The Bills can win the Super Bowl with Khalil Shakir as a number one receiver. I watched the Chiefs win a Super Bowl with Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore. Believe me, it's possible. You can do it. The Bills have not lost in recent years in the playoffs because they didn't have a number one receiver. They've lost in the playoffs because they can't rush the quarterback against Kansas City. It's killed them. Every time they have lost to the Chiefs in the playoffs, it has been because their pass rush has not showed up. And if they get a pass rush next January and they punt, they'll beat them. Then if they don't, they won't. And it's going to be the same thing until they get a pass rush.
How is this offseason gone for the Chiefs, considering maybe how humbling, although maybe it's just getting boring, to get knocked around like they did in the Super Bowl? Yeah. Was there overreaction to that? Maybe underreaction? What's the temperature there? And where do the Bills fit into it if anywhere? Is it, you know, like we're like the little brother for Chiefs fans, or is there like, oh no, I'd hate to see that team again?
No, listen, I would tell you, I mean, for us, I cover the league nationally, but as I'm sure even a lot of people listening, I came up covering the Chiefs, and you know, I would tell you the Bills are the one team that Chiefs fans respect. They are the one team in the AFC that I think Chiefs fans look at and like, all right, if they play the Bills in a playoff game, you got to buckle up because Allen can beat them. Allen is the one quarterback that when they square off, the Chiefs don't have a decided advantage at the position. Now, you want to sit there and argue about which guy's better, whatever, fine. But both of them are so dominant that you can do whatever. I mean, look at – now, listen, not to bring up a sore subject in Buffalo, but look at that play that Allen made on that 4th-and-5. I mean, he's got three free rushers in his face. And it's a tough catch for Kincaid, but it's a play that Allen put him in position to make. As far as the offseason for the Chiefs, I think the offseason's been fine. Like, you know, they lost Justin Reed, which is meaningful, but they really like Jaden Hicks, so that's why they let him go. They brought back Bolton, who's kind of the quarterback of the defense. I think his value is more cerebral than physical, honestly, to them. They brought in Christian Fulton. You know, they needed another body corner, and he'll fit fine. He'll allow McDuffie to kick inside, which is really the biggest value he brings to them. And then they really threw bodies at the tackle position. They brought in Jalen Moore. They brought in Josh Simmons with a first-round pick. They traded Tooney, and they kicked Kingsley Suamate inside, which is going to be a downgrade. How much of one we're going to find out, but you're losing Joe Tooney. It's going to be a downgrade. But they're getting Rice and Hollywood Brown back, and they basically missed those guys all year long last season. So I think there's a thought that offensively they're more explosive. Defensively, they're probably about the same. I don't think there's going to be a huge difference. But, you know, it was funny. I covered that game in New Orleans for SI, and my assignment was to go down to the Chiefs locker room and kind of paint the picture. And I kind of expected guys to be furious. They really weren't. It was silent. It was a combination of being very disappointed and very tired.
Yeah.
They just looked like a team that they were just spent by the end of that game.
Yeah. Matt Verderam, our guest here on the West Shore Hotline, SI, KC Sports Network, Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. It's not been the norm in the NFL to have, you know, mostly anyway, teams just lord over divisions like the Chiefs and the Bills have done. The last two years, the AFC's had the same four division winners and same four divisional round teams. Meanwhile, the NFC East hasn't had a team win two in a row since 2003 or something like that, which is incredible. Would you be surprised, Matt, if this changed in the AFC in 2025? Either Buffalo or Kansas City gets beat, or someone we just have never seen do it, get in there and enter the conversation to win the conference?
I would be shocked. If you told me Allen and Mahomes are healthy, I would be shocked if one of those other six teams in those two divisions even approached winning the division. I just don't see. I think, look, maybe I'm on a limb with this. I think New England's the second best team in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I think May's going to be good, and I think Vrabel's a real coach. And the Dolphins, to me, are just on the way down. The Jets are rebuilding. And in the West, the Raiders are – you take them more seriously because of Carroll and Geno Smith, but they're not ready to win. The Chargers, I think it's kind of inertia. They're basically the same team. Obviously, Palmer and Bosa now in Buffalo. And the Broncos are the one you wonder, like, do they get better in Bonix's second year, or is that one of these things where we're watching Bonix in his second year and he looks like Mac Jones in his second year? So, I don't know. I kind of tend to err on the side of I think they'll be good. I don't think they'll be great. It was actually funny. Right before we were doing this, I was sitting down doing the AFC predictions for the magazine, for the NFL preview for us in a couple months, and I worked right through it and immediately got to Kansas City and Buffalo in the AFC Championship game and just sat there, and I still haven't figured out. I'm like, I don't know. Who knows?
I mean,
It just feels like those two teams are the best teams. Baltimore's there, but Baltimore's never going to show up in the playoffs, or at least hasn't. And it feels like it's Allen and Mahomes. And it's, I mean, my God, how many times have they played each other now? It feels like, what, it was like the part 10, part 11?
Yeah.
And there's that game. They can just fast forward to the last 2 minutes of the game, and then we'll just see who wins. And that's what it feels like in the AFC right now. But it feels a lot like when Manning and Brady did this for a long time, where it was just – those guys were going to be there, and who was going to win the big game in January?
I think it's nine. I think 2020, including playoffs, twice, twice, once, twice, twice, the last 5 years.
It's incredible.
It is kind of. And it doesn't, you know, usually work like that. But I think, yeah, you talked about it, Matt. The big difference is probably the competition in the division. I think even Vegas is interesting with what they've done. And they're not going to slow play a rebuild there, are they? Like, that's...
No, they can't.
That's not what's happening at all with Pete Carroll and Chip Kelly, even Geno. So, I don't know. I give them some... I think they'll be interesting, at least.
I think they're better. I mean, look, they went from Antonio Pierce and whatever they were doing at quarterback last year to Geno Smith and Pete Carroll. And, you know, Brady's in that building. He'll have some professionalism. I know he's not the majority owner or anything, but he'll be there. And he has say in it. And, you know, Spytek comes over as a GM from Tampa, and he's a respected guy in the league. I think, look, the thing that is going to be intriguing about that division is, again, like Denver and the Chargers, the buy them is better. I thought the Chargers going into the offseason, I looked at them and said, okay, they've got a lot of money under the cap. They have the quarterback. They have the coach. I expect them to be aggressive. They did nothing. If you look at what the Chargers did in the offseason, the Chargers lost Bosa for whatever that's worth to you. Maybe you'll love him. Maybe you don't really care, but he's gone. They lose Christian Fulton. They lost Asante Samuel Jr. They lost Joshua Palmer, and they barely replaced any of these guys. So it's a very weird dynamic. I think the West is certainly deeper than the East because I think the Jets are clearly the worst team out of the two divisions. But yeah, like if you said to me, are the Chiefs and the Bills going to win? Are they more likely to each win 10 games or 13 games or together? More likely to go 13-4. And I think when they play each other in Buffalo, whoever wins that game is probably the one seed, because if you look at Baltimore's schedule, that schedule is brutal. That is one of the hardest road schedules I've ever seen a team have.
That is incredible. It is incredible that last year, as you talk about this upcoming year, the Bills did all that. They rolled.
And
they
were
beat
never
Kansas
close.
City. But the Chiefs had such a dream trip, you know, like in horse racing, where just winning.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All these close games, sometimes against bad teams, and how could we expect the Bills to have done anything more last year than they did? I mean, they lost three games until the Week 18 game where they rested everybody, and it still wasn't enough to even tie. So, kind of incredible.
It was one of those years too. The Chiefs just kind of had a horseshoe in a certain area where it's just anything that could go. I mean, yeah, they had two games where one game was decided by them blocking a field goal.
Yep.
And then another game was decided a month later by them kicking a field goal that banked in off an upright.
Yeah.
I mean, they just had, you know, the hard thing, and this is a really, I got to say, it's a credit to the Bills. And it really is a discredit to the Chiefs in one regard. the Bills, despite all the success that they've had, and maybe, look, maybe it's the Super Bowl still out there, and they, a lot of times, when they play bad teams, it feels like they hammer them. They, you know, the Bills do not leave it to chance with 2 minutes to go against a lot of these poor teams. And, of course, it happens sometimes, but it's rare. The Chiefs, almost, you can just see it. Like, they're just bored. They don't – I don't want to say they don't care. They certainly care, but they will play with their food for 59 minutes. They just – they look – like, they played the Panthers last year, and it took everything they had to beat Carolina. But they just – you know, but then they got the ball, and they had 30 seconds, and Mahomes scrambled for 40 yards or whatever it was. And they just sleep – they don't – if you look at the Chiefs schedule and you want to try to find the loss – look for when they play the Titans at noon in week 8. And they will just not even show up for that. They won't care. It doesn't matter. Then they'll play Detroit and beat them by 25 points but because they'll be awake for that game. But that's – it's almost gotten to the point of the Chiefs where it's almost like, okay, well, call me in January. Who are they playing? Where are they playing them? They'll be awake for those games. But it's a challenge for them, I think, to be on their game every week more than it is for most teams.
Matt, in talking about both of these divisions and how the Bills and Chiefs have been lording over them, I agree with how you look at the AFC East here. I think New England is, you know, in my opinion at this point, on May 6th, the second best team in the division. I think Miami is going the wrong way now, and the Jets are still at, you know, the place that they've often been, which is trying to figure out which way is up. How soon do you think New England can get right? Because I also like May, and I think Vrabel's an excellent coach. I even like McDaniels there running the offense again. But, like, is it too soon for them to, you know, I don't know, be a wild card contender even?
I think they can contend for a wild card. I think, you know, the way I look at the AFC, to me it's Kansas City and Buffalo. Then it's maybe a half step down, it's Baltimore. And then you get into, look, I still, even though Houston can't block anybody, I still think they're a good team. Then after that, it's like, okay, do you like Pittsburgh? Do you like Cincinnati? Do you like Denver? Do you like the Chargers? Do you like New England? I mean, I think it's like those five teams for three spots. And, of course, like, somebody's going to surprise, and it probably won't be the Jets. But it'll be like, you know, those teams will fight in there. But I don't think New England can seriously, like, put a charge into the Bills for at least another year. And it might even be a couple more years. I mean, New England is coming from a place where they were pretty bereft of talent for a couple of years there. But Vrabel's a real coach. May is a real quarterback. If they can draft well, and I like their draft this year, I think they did pretty well. If they can do that for a few years, then I think maybe you get to a point where you look at them and go, okay, New England could win 11 games. And if they split with the Bills or something, maybe there's a world where they can sneak in. But I think they're still a year or two away from really, you know, challenging the Bills in a meaningful way.
Matt, quickly before you go, you said you're working on the preview for Sports Illustrated. When will that come out?
That's the August magazine. So we're busy putting that together right now, doing stories on it. In the meantime, God knows, we go to SI.com. We have a ton of stuff. I got a couple pieces coming out in the AFCs next week. There's no shortage of content, and my God, the day the schedule comes out, I have like a running blog of just everything that's happening that day, plus all these predictions at the end of it. So if you want to go to SI.com or my Twitter feed, they can certainly find all of it.
Trying to put the schedule together, you mean, during the day?
Basically, yeah, like a jigsaw puzzle. It's,
me too.
Yeah, it's all about not getting screwed over by the wrong person.
Right,
because all you need is like one game in week 8 that's wrong, and it's chaos.
Making sure you're not retweeting Adam Schlechter or something.
Yeah, reaching out to every GM in the league, and they're like, "Hey, is this right?" And then, you know, hopefully getting a response.
There it is. Thanks for your time, as always, Matt.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
Matt Verderam, SI, and the KC Sports Network. I'm feeling inspired.
New sheet?
New sheet.
There it is.
I'm using up a lot of these back pages this way, but it's worth it. For this.
What else are you going to do with them?
For this, it's worth it. Yep.
I never even really got to see the one that you're already throwing in the trash.
Well, that's grayed out for you.
Yeah, that's right. That's,
you know,
right.
You just start over.
Yep. All right. Yeah.
You take ideas from different people.
Make them your own.
And just, you know, put your spin on them. Right. That's what we're going to do. Making the schedule. Always I'm asking, but if you've got out there a hope for the schedule, week one, how the season ends, the last season at the stadium, any of these other games, night games, too many night games lately? Are you hoping for fewer? Whatever it is, 803-0550 is the number. Still here going over the Bills draft and just whether they did the right things. We'll get into some Sabres and NHL playoff talk as well. The Sabres are just going to sit tight, maybe? Is that surprising to anyone? Is it good news to anyone? I don't know. I never know where to start with them. Paul Hamilton will join us.
I don't know what to say right now.
At 6. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Lines are open for you. This is WGR.